Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman, and as we record this on Tuesday, May 5th, I'm here in spirit of what I can only assume is my over-caffeinated colleague, Mike Morial. Mike, how are you?
Adam, I got a problem. I ran out of regular strength coffee. I can't leave my house since they're repaving the road outside my street, so I'm stuck. I had to go with the non-flavored decaf version. It's okay. Still feeling a little off-kilter, if you know what I mean. A little off-kilter.
Decaf for you is like Superman without his cape. I don't know how we're going to get through the show.
I like that comparison. I really do. For once, you got it right, Kimmelman. For once, like, you got it right.
Like a small child in a Halloween costume, Mike has a Superman suit on. And before we go any further, I do have to make a reference to a very happy birthday for my my colleague and partner here.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I share a birthday with Ron Hextall. How about that?
Sticks down, boys. Sticks down.
That's right.
All right. So today on the show, we're going to focus on the top prospects from the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League with JF Damfus of NHL Central Scouting. But before we get to JF, just want to remind everyone said that there are some rumors out there that the draft could still happen in June. In case that does happen, you can fast forward your knowledge base on the draft by checking out previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. Last show, we talked to John Williams from Central Scouting about the best prospect from the WHL. We've also spoken with Joey Tenute about the best from the OHL. We've also had exclusive interviews with some of the top prospects of the draft, including Alexi Lafreniere, who you'll hear about a lot today, Quentin Byfield, and more. Subscribe now to NHL Draft Class. Mike, it's the best way, you know, not to be a little too self-serving here, but it's the best way to learn about the 2020 draft.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, there's just a little uncertainty when the draft might be held. So because of that, you want to touch base with NHL Draft Class. And we touch base with all these scouts and these players, you know, getting to know Jake Sanderson of the NTDP, the great interview we had with Dan Moore a few weeks back, the director of NHL Central Scouting, gave us the lowdown on all the top prospects in the top 31 of the final list and how those final lists were created. All interesting content and stuff that's really important this time of year for a fan of any NHL team, since their team could be selecting one of these players.
All right, but let's focus on the queue. And as we mentioned, Alexi Lafreniere, I'm sure he's going to be a popular topic with JF Damfus from NHL Central Scouting. JF, thanks for coming on NHL Draft Class today. First off, hope you and the family are doing well and staying healthy.
Thanks for having me. Yes, things have been a little crazy here, but everything's pretty good here. I live in New Brunswick. We're one of those provinces that's been the least affected, and we're still limited in what we can do in town, but things are pretty good. I can't complain.
JF, we're going to talk a lot about Alexi Lafreniere today, but he's got that mix of skill, hockey IQ, willingness to play physical. Could that make it easier for him to make the NHL next season as an 18-year-old?
Well, for sure. I think, you know, the fact that he played three full seasons in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League before turning pro, that's going to help. He's got lots of experience. He's physically mature, too. Like, he's going to have a pretty good frame when the season starts next season. He's a 6'1" player who's gonna, you know, keep building some strength. So I think the transition is gonna be, I wouldn't say easy, because anytime you turn, you go from junior to pro, there's a step, there's an adjustment to make. But he's a mature kid. He's got a strong work ethic, and I think he understands what it takes to get to the next level. So I think when you look at his situation, I think he could step up in the NHL right away and have somewhat of an impact.
Lafreniere said he likes to pattern his game after Patrick Kane from the Blackhawks. Is that an apt comparison, or is there a different NHL player you'd compare him to if you were describing Lafreniere to someone who's never seen him play?
I mean, Lafreniere has, you know, the puck skills, the creativity, playmaking skill is really high. So you could see some Patrick Kane in his game. But I think there's a little bit of Jonathan Huberdeau as well, like some physical aspect. Like I said, he's a 6'1" player who's gonna get stronger and stronger, and I think he likes that aspect of the game too. Like he doesn't mind finishing checks. He battles hard on both sides of the puck. So I think he can bring a little bit of both, the skill set that Patrick Kane has, and maybe a little bit of the sandpaper that Huberto has.
So six QMJHL players are projected as first-round selections among the 37 total league players named to Central Scouting's final ranks. Right-handed center Dawson Mercer is hoping to become the sixth player born in Newfoundland to go in the first round of the NHL draft, so that's something that would be really special. He's number 10 in the final ranks, was traded from Drummondville to Chicoutimi at the halfway point of the season, and was still able to finish with 24 goals and 60 points. So, JF, why is Mercer such a dynamic prospect for this draft?
Well, I really like Dawson's game. He's a true competitor. He's passionate. He loves playing the game. He's got a wicked release. He can score from different angles. He can score on his one-timer. He can beat goalies from distance with his wrist shot. And I like the way he battles his two-way game. Like, he's a reliable player. I don't like comparing players, but you know, if I had to compare, I think he could become a little bit like Patrice Bergeron, someone that can bring a lot of offense, but also reliable in his own zone, winning faceoffs, battling down low for loose pucks. I think he brings a little bit of all these things, and the fact that he made the World Junior team for Team Canada, you know, as a first year eligible, that it really shows the type of player and character that he has.
Yeah, certainly does. Right-handed D-man Justin Barron of Halifax missed 3 months, JF, with that blood clot issue. He was 15 at the midterm, 16 in the final rankings. What is it about Barron that enabled him to remain in Central's top 20 despite so much time missed due to the injury?
Yeah, I think in the case of Justin, the fact that he's such a good skater, it makes him automatically a great prospect. The way he skates forwards and backwards, his transition, his mobility, footwork. I mean, anytime you see him on the ice, you know right away that this kid has tremendous potential. So, you know, the fact that he missed a lot of games this year, yeah, maybe it's kind of a little negative when you look at the big picture, but you have to remind yourself that he had a tremendous underage season with Halifax last year. Memorial Cup experience, had quite the run in the playoffs, 13 points in 23 games last season in the playoffs. So I think most of the teams recognize that aspect and the fact that he's got so much potential. That to me, it makes him automatically a high-end prospect for this season.
Jeff, speaking of defensemen, St. John's Jeremy Poirier, he's number 18 on the final ranking. He looks like the ultimate risk-reward kind of defenseman. He had 20 goals and 53 points this season. The offensive gifts are obvious, but how has his defensive game improved during the season? And can he grow into being a better two-way player at the next level?
Yeah, I think he will become better. I don't think we'll see him as a shutdown defenseman down the road anytime soon. I think he's got that offense in his game that, you know, you don't want to take that away from him. But like you said, his offensive skills are off the chart. He's got a great shot, sees the ice well, carries the puck, can transition the puck really nicely from defense to offense. But like you mentioned, his defensive side of the game, I think it did improve. Just looking at the stats, you know, he finished minus 25, but minus 14 of those minuses were in the first month. So I think he was a lot better at playing the body, using his stick a little better. But, you know, like you said, those are 17, 18-year-old kids. It's going to take time, but I think he'll end up being a lot better defensively. But when you add those offensive skills, it makes him a legit high-end prospect.
Right-handed center Maverick Bourque of Shawinigan tied for 18th in the queue with 71 points in 49 games. He also went 50% on faceoffs. Goes about 5'10", 178 pounds. He's been a very productive player in his two seasons in the queue, 54 goals, 125 points in 113 games. Why do you feel it would make it difficult for teams to pass on him in the later stages of the first round?
Well, it's no secret that, you know, teams are looking for offense, and there's no doubt that Maverick has put, you know, a lot of points on the board for his first two seasons in the QMJHL. He controls the pace of the game. He's a good, agile skater, controls the puck really nicely, sees the ice well. He can make plays, but he can finish as well. And what I like about those numbers as well, he scored 29 this year. 25 of them were 5-on-5. So he's not only a goal scorer that's going to produce on the power play. He can get it done 5-on-5. So he's good at working down low, cycling the puck, and finding the sweet spot in the offensive zone to get open. And like I said, he can make plays as well. He's going to be tough to pass, anywhere at the bottom of the first round. I think he's one of those that could climb in the rankings get a surprise in the first round.
JF, with Shakuta Mies, Hendrix LaPierre, the skill was there when he was healthy. He's number 13 in the final rankings, but he only played 19 games because of a concussion, some upper body issues. Is it just a matter of him getting past this stretch of injuries? Can he be an effective guy at the next level? What did you like about him in the time that you did see him?
Yeah, no, like Hendrix is he's a dynamic skater, very smart, two-way game, creative with the puck, passing skills, playmaking skills, really high. I think, like you said, it's just a matter of getting through those injuries. And, I think we all heard recent news that some of those concussions may have been neck issues. So, those things are going to get sorted out by team doctors, I'm sure. But I think he's got so much potential. And the way he played at the Gretzky Linka last summer, and the way he dominated, the way he made plays with high-end players around him, I think he's going to be hard to pass by. Like he's got so much potential, and I wouldn't be surprised if he goes higher than people expect.
So everyone's heard about the top Austria-born player on the draft board in Ottawa Center, Marco Rossi, ranked number 6 and could be selected among the top 10 in this draft. But there's another Austrian who could also hear his name, I guess as early as the third round, in Drummerville right-handed D, Timo Nickel, 6'2", 176 pounds. Some have compared him to Oilers defenseman Adam Larson. JF, what makes the number 74 ranked prospect such an intriguing option in this draft?
Yeah, I really like his game. He brings a combination of physical play and puck moving ability, and the fact that he's a 6'2", good sized defenseman. He's going to be intriguing for a lot of teams. The most games that I saw him play, I wouldn't say he dominated, but he made a huge impact in every game, whether it was playing physical, boxing out in front of his net, playing good one-on-ones with his stick. And he was really good on the power play. He's got a cannon of a shot. And I think it's going to be he's going to be one of those defensemen, like you mentioned. They're hard to find, those right-handed defensemen with size. He's another one that could slide, top of the third round. You never know.
Jeff, a guy who was interesting to me is Cape Breton left wing Igor Sokolov, 6'4", 223, passed over in last year's draft. This season, he led the Q with 46 goals, played for Rush in the World Juniors, climbed from 94 in the midterm to 73 in the final rankings. What's changed for him from a year ago even to where we are now to make him a guy who could go top three, top four rounds in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, this kid has been scoring goals in the queue for the past couple of years. He's been passed over in the draft. I think one of the concern was maybe his skating and his overall conditioning. I think Igor made the sacrifice last summer to stay in Halifax instead of going back to Russia. Stayed in Halifax, worked with Jill Plandowski on his skating, and worked on his conditioning all summer and nutrition as well. So I think he made the commitment to improve the parts that maybe was questionable. And to be honest, he's one of those players that all year he's been dominating. Obviously the size, he's got a hard shot. He can make plays. He's got really good hands for a big player. I think he deserves to be drafted. I think he deserves to be drafted high. Went to Columbus camp last year. I think he did well over there. And, the fact that he played for Russia, the World Junior, and did a really good job for them, it kind of elevates his profile as well. So that's, the reason we have him a little higher on our list.
Yeah, a real character kid too, JF. I recently talked to him, wrote a story about Sokolov delivering groceries you know, in the town there where he lives with his billet family. So that was quite a thing that Sokolov was able to do, driving groceries here and there during the pandemic. So good for him.
Hopefully
he gets drafted. That'd be great to see. Can you maybe provide JF, you know, for Adam and I and the listeners, maybe one or two other key players outside the top 31 that you feel could be a diamond in the rough in this draft class?
Well, there's a couple. You know, the first one I'm going to throw is not that far from the top 31, because he's number 32 on our list, Lucas Cormier. He's a great skater. He's a puck-moving defenseman that a lot of teams are looking for. You know, a lot of people compare him to Girard, who plays for Colorado. Great offensive mind, make plays. He's got a hard shot. And I think he could be a nice pick for a team, you know, somewhere in the first round or early second round. So we'll see what happens there. And the second one is William Dufour. We have him at 69. William started the year in Chicoutimi and really turned the season around when he got traded to Drummondville. Finished the year with 28 goals. He's a big body, 6'2", 6'3". Again, 25 of his 28 goals were 5-on-5. And in the queue this year, as far as first year eligible, with his 28 goals, he was third behind Lafreniere and Bourque. So there's something to work there. Some were questioning his skating, but it did improve. And I think he'll be a really good pick, you know, somewhere in the second, third, fourth round for sure.
Well, JF, that was great stuff. It's always our pleasure to have one of the hardworking evaluators of NHL Central Scouting lending their expertise on NHL draft class. So thanks for giving up your time to discuss the QMJHL today. Stay safe and hope to see you around the rinks real soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, JF, for coming on NHL draft class. Mike, a lot of good stuff there. Let's touch on the Alexi Lafreniere stuff. You know, JF is in the you know, he thinks he's ready for the NHL. I tend to agree. You know, 3 years in the queue, two outstanding runs of the World Junior, shows he's ready to play against guys older, more physically developed. I don't know if the NHL is going to be a huge jump for him. I mean, obviously, for all kids at 18, it is. But I think he's got a really good chance to be a top six guy in the NHL as soon as next season because of the skill, because of the hockey IQ, because of the way he, that little bit of a physical element he has to his game. I don't think he's going to be afraid of anything out there.
No, I totally agree with you, Adam. You know, the most telling aspect of Lafreniere's game is his compete level and his relentless desire to be the best. Those are what make him truly special. And people may say, well, you know, all players have that type of ability and that type of mindset. But it takes a special player to actually go on the ice and be daring enough and have the will to want to do that, to be the best. And Alexi Lafreniere has that in his game. We know all about the skill and what he's able to do. And yes, he is a winger. Might not have the same type of impact as some of the centers that we've seen come along, Adam, you know, in the past few years at the center position. But he still is an exceptional athlete. And I say athlete because that's what he is, an athlete, a tremendous athlete on skates. And his desire to go into the corners, the big hits, we've seen these hits that he's had against some big-time players. And not only in big-time competition, you know, with Rimouski and whether it was for Canada on an international scale, but also in these all-star games, right? We've seen him lay out some people, you know, big-name people in these all-star games, these prospect tournament games as well.
Oh, yeah. When we were in Hamilton at the top prospects game, we saw him put the body on Quentin Byfield, who's got him by 3 inches and maybe 20 pounds, and he put him on his butt. That was impressive to me. That stands out to me because, look, all these guys are where they are because they can rack up the goals, rack up the points, but you got to bring something else. And you're right. Not everybody has that high-end run through a wall compete level, and I think Lafreniere does, and that's what makes him so special. I think with Lafreniere, there's going to have to be a level of patience, right? Like and this isn't a slight on Alexi, but he's not Connor McDavid. He's not Sidney Crosby. He's not Austin Matthews, where you open the box, take him out, and he's ready to go and to be your franchise guy. And that's where I think JF's comparison with Jonathan Huberdeau is really good. Huberdeau came into the NHL at 19. He didn't score 20 goals until his fourth season. And now at 24, 25, 26, he's a 30-goal scorer every year. So, you guys, you know, whatever team gets him, the fan base is going to have to be patient. He'll be a nice contributing piece for a couple of years until he gets his legs under him. But, you know, once he hits his stride at you know, 3 years in the league, he has a chance to be a very good to elite player. I think whatever team he ends up with, they're just going to have a little bit of patience because he has the chance to be a very special player for a very long time. He might not be that special player at 18, but I think down the road, 21, 22, I think he's got a chance to be a very special player.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is you know, from all accounts, and we've spoken to a lot of his teammates for Team Canada and Rimouski, and he's a real good guy in the locker room, right? He's a leader. He, you know, tries to lead by example, but he'll say some things here and there. We saw that at the World Juniors. Just the fact that he was able to come back from that injury, though, Adam, I mean, we watched these games. I mean, when he went down, you know, you really thought that not only would he miss the remainder of the tournament, but he would probably miss a month with Rimouski when he went back to the queue afterwards. The fact that he was able to get his stuff together, get it done, come back, win MVP of the World Juniors, and then return to Rimouski and have the season he did was just extraordinary. I think the only other player that we might be talking about, possibly, to maybe be playing in the NHL as early as next season after this draft, might be Tim Stützle of Mannheim in Germany. But Stützle's been playing against men, of course, all this season. He had a really good stat line. He also is physical, plays with that same type of edge that, you know, Alexi does play with. So it's going to be interesting to see, number one, who drafts these players, depending on who gets the, you know, in that top three range, and then how these players perform in training camp and then where they fit in the lineup. But Tim Stützle could be the other player, I think, Adam, that might be willing or might have that ability to play next season. But we'll see.
Now, the other guy that stood out to me from when we were talking to JF is Igor Sokolov. Now, we talked a little bit about what he's done on the ice, how he's improved his game. But, Mike, you made mention of it, you know, the kind of person he is. And as much as we talk about players that you want to have on your team, it's people that you want to bring in your locker room. And an NHL locker room is no different than any other office. You want to work around nice people, decent people, well-mannered people, people who are going to make your workplace better. And Igor Sokolov seems like a guy who is going to make whatever locker room he goes into a better place because of the person that he is, you know, taking the initiative to go out and deliver groceries to people who need it during the coronavirus crisis. Not every 19-year-old kid's going to think to do that.
No. Sokolov's season ended with Cape Breton March 23rd when the CHL announced the cancellation of the playoffs for the Q. So, you know, the fact that he really dug in and you know, with the citizens of his adopted hometown in Sydney, Nova Scotia, says a lot about what Sokolov is as a person off the ice. He said he told me that he wanted to give back to Cape Breton for what it has done for him the past 3 years, and particularly for his Billet family, Ashley and Kyle Ryan, for the amount of time they spent with him and making, you know, Sydney really feel like home, because he was so far away from his, you know, his home country in Russia, wasn't able to get back there. Obviously, Sokolov, that's where he developed, where he grew in Russia in the junior leagues there before joining Cape Breton in the 17-18 season. You know, he played at the 2020 World Junior Championship in the Czech Republic. And as JF mentioned, you know, represented the Blue Jackets as a free agent invitee at the Traverse City Prospects Tournament in Traverse City, Michigan, the past two seasons, and was also invited to the Columbus main camp in September. So he has a lot of experience, was passed over in the draft. So, you know, he told me that keeps driving him. He wants to be drafted. He wants to prove to an NHL club that he belongs in the big league. And I think he really had a fantastic season with Cape Breton this year. And, you know, I think there's a real good chance he could go in the middle of this draft. You know, he had 46 goals, 10 game-winning goals this year, Adam, 92 points in 52 games, and this is his third season in Cape Breton. So I think the sky's the limit right now for Igor and what he wants to accomplish and what he wants to prove on the biggest stage.
Right, Mike, that Sokolov, he's a good kid, and somebody's going to be very happy to get him. That's going to do it for this episode of NHL Draft Class. Check out all our previous episodes of NHL Draft Class, where we talked about the best prospects from the WHL, the OHL, and more. All you need to know about the 2020 NHL Draft is available anywhere you get your podcasts at NHL Draft Class. Mike, another fun show in the book.
Always a pleasure. Stay safe, Adam.
You too. And until next time, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.